I'm happy to see all of you. I've just arrived in Corning Saturday night, and so I'm here only for this week. And I'm always very happy to be able to offer Mass in this chapel, which is like the spiritual heart of our community. Today's first reading is the beginning of the letter to the Romans, one of the greatest of Paul's letters, the longest, and it's the first one in the list of the letters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. So we'll be reading from Romans for a couple of weeks. But in this first selection from Romans, Paul introduces himself, and then he gives a little summary of what he's doing, what his mission is, and then he says who he's speaking to or who he's writing to. So he identifies himself as a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, to set apart to proclaim the gospel. Well, the word slave might throw us off a little bit because we know slavery as an evil, but he's not talking about something evil. He's talking about something that he considers a great gift, to be able to give himself totally to Jesus Christ. He belongs to Jesus Christ, not because he was forced to, but because he loves him. He was called, and Paul responds with love. So that's why he identifies himself as a slave of Christ Jesus. For him, being an apostle and being a slave of Christ Jesus is the same, being an apostle. Anyway, he summarizes his mission, and then he says, I'm writing to all of the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy. Now, we're not in Rome, but we're included in those to whom he's addressed because we are all called to be holy. The universal call to holiness is something that we are being reminded of all the time in the church. Called to be holy. But when we think of Rome, most of us think of the Pope. I don't know if you think of the Pope, think of the Vatican and the Pope. And as it turns out, today is the feast of a Pope who, as I said at the beginning, was the Pope who was reigning when I was born. So he was, I'm talking about Pope St. John the 23rd. So a couple of you might remember him, but some of you maybe don't. But anyway, a very popular Pope and a man who, oh gosh, I forgot to bring my book with me. Maybe you can get it. It's the Consecration to St. Joseph. It's just sitting in that office. Pope John the 23rd, I want to connect him to the year of St. Joseph because we're celebrating the year of St. Joseph. In fact, we're getting near the end of it. We only have a couple months left, and I don't want to forget St. Joseph. And Pope St. John the 23rd had a great devotion to St. Joseph. He's the one who included St. Joseph in the Eucharistic prayer. At the time, there was only one Eucharistic prayer, the Roman canon. Now we call it Eucharistic prayer number one. Thank you. Eucharistic prayer number one. He inserted the name of St. Joseph in there before all those names in the Eucharistic prayer. And that was to show not only his own personal devotion to St. Joseph, but also to show that the church should rely on the intercession of St. Joseph. And this is what I wanted to read to you. And if any of you have read this book or used this book on consecration to St. Joseph, you did. So in the introduction to this book, the author, Father Calloway, is explaining why he wrote this book. And he says, because this is the time of St. Joseph. Now is the time to be aware of and devoted to St. Joseph in a way that in earlier centuries, that the church hadn't awakened to that yet. And he gives this long quotation from today's saint, Pope John the 23rd. This is what he says. Back in 1961, that's the year I was born. In the Holy Church's worship, right from the beginning, Jesus, the Word of God made man, has enjoyed the adoration that belongs to him, incommunicable as the splendor of the substance of his Father, a splendor reflected in the glory of his saints. So first of all, is always Jesus Christ. That's the point. He's the splendor of the Father. If we don't have Jesus Christ, we don't have the Father. If we don't have Jesus and the Father, we don't have anything at all. Okay. From the earliest times, Mary, his mother, was close behind him in the pictures and the catacombs and the basilicas where she was devoutly venerated as Holy Mother of God. Okay, we understand. We have a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. She's the Mother of God. And the Church has always honored Mary, Mother of God. This is what Pope John the 23rd says. But Joseph, except for some slight sprinkling of references to him here and there in the writings of the fathers of the Church, for long centuries remained in the background in his characteristic concealment, almost as a decorative figure in the overall picture of the Savior's life. It took time for devotion to him to go beyond those passing glances and take root in the hearts of the faithful, and then surge forth in the form of special prayers and of a profound sense of trusting abandonment. The fervent joy of pouring forth these deepest feelings of the heart in so many impressive ways has been saved for modern times. So modern times are the time of St. Joseph, that our time, and especially this year, year of St. Joseph. So he wrote that March 19, 1961. Now, I also want to connect John the 23rd and St. Joseph to our icon, this icon in front of the altar. Father Francis was working on it in the early 60s, before the changes in the liturgy. You know there's a Joseph in there, do you know that?
Yeah, well, they may not.
See this face here? That's Joseph. That's Joseph. His head is even bigger than Mary's head. And then he's holding his hands over his breast like this, and he's looking over the mysteries of the that are in the heart of the Church. Now, over here, you see this arm of Christ? That's his right arm. It's to our left. This part of the circle is the later part of the liturgical year. You see the word here, September, October. There's the word October. And right here, it says Divine Maternity. Now, the reason why I'm pointing out Divine Maternity is because October 11, before the changes in the liturgy, was the feast of the Divine Maternity, the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, October 11. So this was the feast day of the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that was the day Pope John the 23rd started the Second Vatican Council. So he was entrusting the Church from the beginning of the Council to Mary, Mother of God. Now this feast day is moved to January 1st. We call it Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. Used to be October 11, now it's January 1st. So the Feast of Mary, it's listed there in the icon in October, because that's when it was, when Father Francis made that icon. Then that's when the Pope called the Second Vatican Council, and now it's the feast day of John the 23rd because he's honored as the one who called the council. Okay. So a little bit of interesting history, maybe. And Anuim life. Now, let's take a little look at the gospel here, because we don't need only history and interesting things. We need food for our spiritual life. And here, Jesus gives us an instruction on signs and why signs are not that effective for us. Here he says the people who are of his own generation are an evil generation because they seek a sign. Well, what's wrong with seeking a sign? Nothing, except that if we get a sign, we have to follow it. We have to respond to the grace. And he says the only sign that's going to be given to this generation is the sign of Jonah. Jonah, who was a sign for the Ninevites. And then Jesus, as if he's realizing, well, sign of Jonah, maybe that's not enough for them. He also mentions Solomon. So Jonah and Solomon, the prophet Jonah, we heard about him last week, if you're following the daily liturgy. Jonah preached for only one day, and all the Ninevites converted in one day. Solomon is praised as the wise man, and the queen of the south went to Solomon to seek wisdom. So what does all this mean? It's not just Jonah and Solomon. It's the Ninevites and the queen of the south. See, Jonah was the preacher, but the Ninevites are the ones who repented. Solomon was the wise man, but it's the queen of the south who was seeking wisdom. Jesus says, you have a greater than a Jonah here. You have a greater than a Solomon here. you have the sign that you're looking for already here. Are you going to be like the Ninevites? Are you going to be like the queen of the south? You see what he does? They're putting the burden on him to produce a sign. And he says, wait a minute. The sign is not the burden. You've got enough signs. Are you going to respond to the sign? The burden's on you. That's what Jesus is saying. Are you going to repent and seek wisdom? Repentance is the sign of Jonah. Wisdom is the sign of Solomon. Are you going to repent and seek wisdom? They go together. Because if we repent, if we are repentant, we can seek wisdom. We can open our hearts to wisdom. If we are wise, we will repent. They really do go together. So Jesus here is giving us a message about what we should do. Repent. If we're wise, we will repent. Because if we're wise, we know we're sinners and we need God. We should repent and continue to seek wisdom, not just wisdom of Solomon, but the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Going back to what Paul says in the first reading, Jesus is the one who reveals the gospel of God. He reveals the truth about the Father. He reveals the way to holiness, and he bestows on us his own spirit of holiness. So that's wisdom for us. So with gratitude to the Lord, we thank him for the call to repentance and the call to wisdom. And we also thank him for the witness and the intercession of Holy Pope St. John the 23rd.